Okay, welcome to the Homeschool Conversation Podcast. Today I have a special guest. It is my one and only darling husband, Vaughn Davis. Say hi, Vaughn. Can you hear me, Vaughn?
Yep, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Perfect. Sorry, I'm new to this technology thing. Hi, everyone.
So my husband decided, he agreed to join us on the podcast to answer some very unique dad perspective homeschool related questions. So Vaughn's actually the one who convinced me to homeschool. He's dead set against it. So I figured he could chime in, tell us a little bit about why he felt so passionately about homeschooling and what made him think homeschooling was a good fit for our family.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Ash. I guess it's all founded and rooted in my experience with schooling, traditional schooling. I was born in South America, and I was exposed to both private and public school. I actually attended the first private school in Guyana, a school called Maze under 12, and it was really robust education curriculum systems that they had in place, and I learned a lot, but I always felt limited in what I could consume as a student. And I grew up with my aunt and uncle were teachers. There's a lot of teachers in my family. But my aunt and uncles were teachers, and my mom used to, every summer, send me over to my aunt and my uncles for maybe 3-4 weeks. And out of that 3-4 weeks, I would go over the coming year's curriculum. So I was constantly in a state of schooling. And I was always one of those kids that had to learn something new every day or every minute of the day, or else I felt unfulfilled. But I felt the traditional schooling systems limited that. I mean, it was just the system and the structure. It's like, you can learn this much in this grade, and there's no more that you can learn at this time regarding to this subject until you get to the next grade. And I didn't think that was fair. So I continued to go through the schooling system and, you know, college and high school, a mixture of both public and private and high school as well. I even went to school in the Bahamas, and I had a mixture of public and private college schooling as well. And the same final outcome was prevalent, where I realized that this was a system structured around what they thought you should be learning, who they are. It's the teachers or the school, the institution you were going to. I also found that teachers would only teach you out of their own textbooks, so you weren't really getting a well-rounded, holistic form of education. You were just getting what that teacher consumed and then put into a book that they sold for profit and then used in their curriculum,
right?
Which you needed to pass in order to graduate,
right?
A little monopolistic in nature. So after college, I set out on a path to actually learn everything all over again, and I wanted to make sure my kids had a different way of learning. That wasn't traditional, but actually more so based on my system of learning, which is expository, where they learn everything. There is no limit to the human brain. Human beings have an innate ability to consume education and knowledge and wisdom without any limit. The old adage where you only use 10% of your brain is a perfect example of someone being misquoted. I mean, the scientist that coined that phrase actually said, as of right now, what we know is that you use 10% of your brain.
Right.
And the test subjects that he was using were actually people who had brain damage. So he was only able to run these experiments on people who are only able to use a certain part of their brain. So with that understanding, human anatomy, the ability to know psychology and review studies of Socrates and Nietzsche and all these great philosophers of the past, and you know, led me down this path of where I wanted my children to have the full arsenal of education available to them from birth, because as they continue to grow, certain neural pathways close. So that's why, you know, for example, it's very difficult to learn how to play an instrument after a certain age or pick up a language after a certain age, because those neural pathways are closed. I always use this saying as an example, where I said the brain is like a muscle. We all know it's not a muscle. My physician assistant wife likes to quickly correct me on that. But I think if we listen very closely, I'm not saying it's a muscle. It's like one. It behaves like one. Meaning if you stop using a certain part of your brain, you'll realize that that area has been weakened. So with the kids, I wanted to have a well-rounded, expository-based learning system for them where they can consume information in a holistic fashion so that they can then take those skills that they've learned and put them into practice as entrepreneurs and social good focused leaders of the future.
Right. So then some people might say, why do you have to homeschool in order to achieve that? What is it that is different about homeschooling versus a child going to like a STEM school or a school that's like a charter school that's very focused on like career development in children? Why do you have to, or why did you decide to encourage me to homeschool as a means to achieve that whole expository type of education with the kids?
Yeah, so I don't like the name homeschooling. I think it has a lot of negative connotations to the name. It's got some bad press, bad PR.
Especially from Harvard.
Well, rightfully so. And it's just a very simple thing with life. Once money gets involved and things become for profit, people will do whatever it takes to meet those requirements of that for-profit system. So if they need a certain amount of people to enroll that pay X amount of dollars and certain graduation percentage to get their bonus, people are going to do whatever it takes to make that happen. So that's one of the reasons why I don't subscribe to that system. And I have nothing against traditional schooling. I want to make sure I'm very clear in this. For some parents, that's the best route for them. And I don't have a problem with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just don't feel like it's fair to my children that I limit them to what those traditional systems offer.
Right. Well, that's a good point, because I don't want any of our listeners to feel that we are against the school system. My mom is a teacher, and we have many teachers in our family, and we're so grateful for teachers and all that they offer to students, especially if they are offering services to students that, you know, really their parents don't know how to provide education to them, or they're not interested in providing education to them for whatever reason. So, you know, the world needs teachers, and we're not here to bash them or the system. We're just here simply to speak on this platform of why homeschooling was chosen for our family, and really to give dads their sounding board for why they should or would or have chosen homeschool for their family. So with that said, my next question for you, hubby dear, is how do you find yourself becoming involved in your children's education? Do you feel like the whole, you know, obviously most husbands are having to work and don't have a lot of spare time to get involved in their child's education. So in what ways have you found you've been able to involve yourself in your kids' education, or in what ways have you appreciated that your kids have maybe involved you, you know, whether it's when I send you videos or pictures and you get involved that way remotely, or in other ways that I would like for you to expound on that from your perspective? How can dads that are listening get involved?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, we should boil down the schooling system to from a first principles point of view. So just take it all back to the basics. Forget everything you learned about schooling, right? So a couple examples. There's a time frame. So you have to learn from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. or 8 to 4. And then within that time frame, you have 30 minutes for math and then 30 minutes for English, study for science. And you just run through this systematic, institutionalized approach towards schooling, which thankfully with homeschooling, you don't have to do that. Homeschooling is something that can be done 24/7, 365. There's no limit to when you can and cannot teach, and it should flow organically. It shouldn't be something that's regimented, overly regimented, and overly institutionalized. It should feel real and natural for the kids when they learn. So for me, I'm pretty busy work. I work tremendous amount of hours on a weekly basis, and it's very difficult for me to be here as much as I'd like to be to teach the children. But what I do is, when I'm around, I am always constantly teaching them something new, and I focus on my areas, my core competencies, things that I am the strongest in. So when it comes to history, we will consume documentaries, we will read books about history, we will talk about history, we will include some lessons learned from some historical leaders and some of the decision-making that we might embark on throughout the day. Science, the same exact process goes into place. We would then, from what we're learning, go on an expository learning journey. Where, okay, we just learned that whichever animal, the cheetah runs X amount of miles an hour. Cheetah is my favorite animal, of course, so sorry. But the cheetah runs X amount of miles per hour. So how do they track those miles per hour? What happens to the cheetah's muscles when it runs that fast? How long can it run that fast? And then you can start breaking down the anatomy of the cheetah and getting into its ability to run and the stamina and what it eats that allows it to run that far for that fast for that long. And it leads into other subjects naturally and organically without the children feeling like they are forced into a box. You know, it's a funny adage that we're born what we're consumed, and then we're in a box while we are developing, and then we're born. And then we go immediately into a box. And then from that box, we go into a larger box, which is your home. Then you get put into your crib, which is a box.
Oh, I never thought of that. And then you sit at your box desk at school, and then you go into your 9-to-5 boxed office desk job. And then it's like, then you end your life in the box.
A box. So what I
never thought of that.
Yeah, so what I want to do is I want to just remove the boxes. Yeah. We have to live in a house, of course, which is a big box, but when it comes to learning, I allow them to learn freely. You know, it's like we can learn outside. We can learn about something else that doesn't pertain to the subject that we had originally embarked on. It just all ties in organically and naturally in our conversations. And then, of course, physical education. I teach them systems. I teach them structure. I teach them how to run a business, how to invest in stocks. I mean, it's a well-rounded approach with math and finance. And it's all done through whatever initial subject we might have joined. For example, if we go into coding, let's say right now I'm learning coding with my son. We're playing a little game on one of those websites. I think it's Minecraft Coding Edition or Education Edition, right? And you know, he's learning about the different steps that he needs to program this animated character to take. So then he bumps into an issue where he doesn't know how to solve the problem. So as opposed to me telling him, then I make him go through first principles where he breaks it down. Okay, so what do you need to do? How many steps do you need to take? What happens if you do this? And then he learns how to do conflict resolution. And then we apply that in the next day into another subject that we might be learning that he can't get past the problem. So, you know, that's just one of the examples of the way that I am involved in the homeschooling process. And I give my feedback and advice. I mean, you have it all under control, which is great to see that you're so invested in this process. And it's difficult, you know, at first, but then you realize that you're not at home as much as you think you thought you would have been. You're actually out more, experiencing the great outdoors, going to museums, going to parks, learning on nature trails when you walk, playing sports outside. That's why I don't believe in the name homeschooling.
I know, we have to coin a new name now.
We got to figure out a new name. Yeah, we should create a new name. Expository journeys. How about that?
Ooh,
one?
I like that one. That one's a good one.
Right off top.
Right. So then it seems like then if you were to give advice to homeschool dad who feels like I'm just too busy with work, I cannot help with homeschooling. What advice would you give him? Because it sounds like from what you're saying, you're not a big believer in curriculum. You don't feel like you need to have a curriculum in order to teach or in order to be involved. It seems like you're really taking things that you already enjoy anyway and just passing that on to your kids. So what advice would you give to a homeschool dad that's listening and wants to maybe be involved but feels overwhelmed by his own work schedule and how he could even balance that?
Well, a few things. Back to first principles, right? Who coined that individual that created that curriculum as the know-it-all of master of that subject? What makes them the most qualified to teach that topic? The way that they set it up in the curriculum. That's the first thing for me. That's the first question I ask myself every time I start teaching the kids. And you know what? Every time I can't find an answer that makes me feel most comfortable with going with their curriculum. So all of you dads out there, I would recommend that, you know, you try to reinvent it. It doesn't have to be what Albert Einstein said, right? He's a brilliant person. We all know that. But are his theories proven yet? Are all of his theories proven yet, I should say? Are they considered laws or are they theories? And then from there, look into the curriculum and see where there might be some flaws. Boil it down to first principles again. And you can take from what you've learned with those flaws and then you can add it to your own curriculum and improve upon it. A lot of these systems were created hundreds of years ago. And to think that we haven't developed to the point where we can expound on the way that they set up the system, I think it's a little disappointing.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Dads, look at it that way. Why does math have to be taught the way math was taught to us? Right? You can create it. Have some fun with it. Maybe you can teach math in a different way that speaks to your child's learning language. And then when it comes down to the time, you don't really need that much time. It's actually a lot easier than I thought, to be honest. You can teach all the time. You can teach while you're playing Madden with your son. I give you a great example. I was against video games in the home. And because a video game took up a lot of my time when I was a kid, but I didn't actually realize what skills I was learning while I was playing video games. The ability to multitask, the ability to think quick on my feet, conflict resolution, perseverance. I mean, there's so many different character building modules that are embedded in the video game system. But just like anything else, if you abuse it, it becomes unhealthy. So we're playing a video game and he's losing in Madden. And I just continue to play and I continue to coach him through it, that he has to persevere. He has to stay strong. He has to stay composed and control his mindset. Think of the time. Think of game management. How many timeouts do you have left? How many minutes are left on the clock? How many points do you need to score in order to have an opportunity to win the game in how much time? So now I'm putting math, I'm using math, reasoning, and logic in a video game while we're having a conversation, as well as character building. And then, of course, what happens? He gets a fumble return, takes it to the end zone, scores a touchdown, and now he feels all so much better about himself. But then he realized he learned a critical lesson that day, that you shouldn't just give up on life or any challenges that you have in life when it comes your way. You should find a way to persevere, find a solution, and always think holistically as opposed to narrow-minded.
Right. So then it seems like you end up actually teaching so much more than what a normal day with a math worksheet would provide, because
so much more. It's real life experience.
Right. And I feel like there's not really a lot of curriculums that are going to encourage you to teach perseverance and multitasking and all of the things you just mentioned. They're going to teach 7 + 7 = 14. You know, they're not going to teach all of the other things that came along with that. And I guess the memories and the bonding that are happening all at the same time while you're doing that, those are invaluable too, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you know, why is 7 + 7 = 14? Why? Right. And you can explain it and you can have a conversation about it and actually break it down and boil it down to first principles and see exactly the origins and the etymology of why that 7 + 7 = 14. And it goes with every single thing you do. I mean, down to cooking. Our kids cook on their own. I mean, when did they start cooking? At 4 years old?
Yeah, really, really young. They were interested, and I had to let go of the whole, the kitchen's going to get so messy and they're going to make mistakes. I mean, that definitely was true, but I had to let it happen in some ways in order to invest in the end result, which was that they now have learned from those mistakes and they don't make those mistakes anymore, and they're completely independent in the kitchen.
Right. And why? Why did we feel initially that a four-year-old in the kitchen making fried eggs is a no-no?
Right. I mean, I feel like it's because society, like, teaches us that kids are dangerous and they make mistakes and they're tornadoes and they don't know how to be around fire without burning themselves. And I believed that for so long, but after observing my children and really watching how they really do want to know what happens if I touch the fire, what happens if the heat is too high, you know, they want to see what happens. And once they see what happens, they don't want that result again. So you can tell a kid all that you want, don't put the fire or the heat up too high. But until they experience for themselves, then they're going to continue to make that same mistake over and over. So I feel like for me, that's what it was that I wanted them to experience the consequences of their actions so that they could learn without me one day how to do things.
Yeah. I mean, we're here to set and build a foundation for the future with our children. And that's a responsibility we all have as parents. So why are we limiting our future?
Right.
Don't limit your kids. Everyone out there, do not limit your kids. Do you remember how it felt to be limited when someone said you couldn't do something or you shouldn't be doing something? And it might have been a brilliant idea. We are essentially doing the same thing to our kids. There's no reason my son couldn't learn how to trade stocks or what the purpose of the stock market was when he was 6 years old. Why couldn't he learn that then? Right. So continue to encourage your kids and teach them all new things and, you know, learn their language. My favorite thing about expository journeys is that you're able to see that each one of your children are unique individuals, even our identical twins.
Yeah.
Which is the most fascinating to me, by the way. But they're all unique individuals, and they have their own language, their own learning language, and their own interests and their own passions. Once you identify those passions, and that, you know, that means you have to put the devices down and you have to observe the children. Observe them. Watch your kids. They'll tell you what they like. I can tell you what every single one of my kids like and what they most likely will be most successful at in the future, right now. And twins are almost 2, and Kylie's 7, and Vaughn's going to be 9 soon. But I've known that for Kylie and Vaughn since they were about 3-4 years old, respectively. And that's from observing them and seeing what their passions are.
Right. And so, I mean, I guess as we start to wrap up, what would you say is something that you wish you would have known as you were beginning the homeschooling journey, as a lot of parents and listeners are just beginning and they feel so overwhelmed with all that there is to do between planning curriculum and starting out the whole school year with being forced into this, not really wanting to do this necessarily. You know, they're kind of just being forced into it because they feel like it's the safer option. What would you say to those parents that are listening and just feel overwhelmed with how to start and how to begin?
Just like anything, it takes some time to build a habit. So, you know, be patient, don't be narrow-minded. Think long game. Think down the pipeline. Think the future and understand that it's going to take some time to put the systems in place. And as human beings are cyclical, you're now going to get into a new cycle that you need to teach them. And it's, I wish I had known how easy it was, to be honest with you. That's one thing. I'm serious.
Yeah, because it's very organic and natural.
I don't know if you remember when we were originally having this conversation and all the research I was doing, and all my research was based on other parents and what they were doing and trying to mimic their homeschooling efforts. And I got to a point where I realized, oh my goodness, all of these parents have a different way of doing it because they all subscribe to different curriculums.
Right.
And then I said to myself, well, why am I subscribing to a curriculum? Why don't I just do it myself? And then that's what freed me from the bondage of institutionalized schooling, and it allowed me to free flow. So now there's so much freedom in our ability to learn and teach. Guys, you just forget about those systems you grew up in. Just forget it. You have to reset your mind. You have to pull a hard reset on your system and reinvent what works best for your kids to learn. I have a lot of friends that have reached out to me since this current pandemic started, and they're all, it's the same exact conversation. I don't know what to do. They're not listening. It's so hard. It's so frustrating. I can't get them to sit still. Well, maybe that child doesn't need to sit still. Maybe that child needs to learn math on the go. Maybe they need to learn science while they're actually running the experiment. I mean, you have to just look at the child as this blank canvas, right? And it's a different type of paper. Each child is a different type of paper that uses a different type of paintbrush that will paint a different picture. So what type of canvas do you have? And what are the tools needed to allow that canvas to flourish into a beautiful painting? And that's the way to approach it. And you just have fun with it. Have fun with the teaching. It's so much fun to learn these things all over again. And you know what? Even better, try to find the truth, because a lot of these things that we learned are inaccurate.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, how much would you say that you've learned in becoming a homeschool parent that you truly didn't know before, or if you had learned it before, it totally left your memory?
Way more than I learned in a million years of school. I'll tell you that much.
So
you know what? It's so funny. It's fascinating to me. It's sad. A lot of my friends that ask, what'd you learn in school? What's the most important thing you took away from? What'd you learn in calculus? What'd you learn with statistics? What'd you learn? And they're like, I don't know. I learned nothing. I can't remember any of it. I didn't use any of those tools. So for me now, if you ask me anything that I've learned with homeschooling, I can point out about 10 new things that I've learned that I had never known before. And that's because the learning is happening in a way that is most interesting to me. And hopefully my kids will be able to look back and say what they've learned from homeschooling and not say absolutely nothing, but give us some actual tangible examples.
Yeah. Well, I think they will. I mean, I hope they will. That's the whole point of what we're doing is, you know, not necessarily to get our kids to regurgitate all the facts they've learned from being homeschooled, but more so what I think we're both striving for is for our kids to have these tools in their toolbox that they know how to use them. So even after I'm gone and Vaughn's gone and we're not here anymore to guide them, our hope is that they have become the type of adults that know how to use all the tools in their toolbox to find whatever they want to know to help prepare them for their career paths, which will then hopefully make them citizens that give back to the community and the world. So we're trying to raise people who are going to become productive and know how to find information without it being spoon-fed to them, without relying on a book to give it to them, without relying on a teacher to teach it to them. You know, hopefully they're going to know, if I don't know the answer to something and I don't know how to do something, I'm going to know how to push through that struggle to find the information. I'm going to know how to dig through the truth and the lies, the fake news and the true news, and learn about biased source information and just all of these things that I feel like in school, I don't know why it's not a priority for us to learn, but it's something that is so important. And I feel like homeschooling has been a great opportunity for me to revisit all the things that I thought were facts and true. And, you know, it's great to have a supportive spouse that is really encouraging with homeschooling, and that really helps a ton. So we definitely want to hear more of your questions. If you have a homeschool dad or a homeschool mom, or even if you have skeptical family in your life, we'd love to hear questions from you guys so that we can answer them on another episode. I hope this episode has been helpful to you guys, and please reach out with more questions and more thoughts that you have on these topics.